This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
Ahoy, and good morning, esteemed professors.
They can't take boats or something? Or
No, I guess they could, but...
Then they wouldn't be in a trivia question, though.
Yeah, that's true. That was Yosemite Sam.
I think you got the wrong play. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday.
That was the wrong music.
Today's January. What was the wrong music?
That's not the Trivia Friday intro.
Oh.
That's the regular today's issues.
That's why I was confused.
People are very disappointed. Probably scared, too, that we're not actually doing Trivia Friday, but we are doing it.
Cold. It's affecting everything.
Yeah.
Even the intro music for Learning University.
So Was that not Trivia Friday intro music?
That was Trivia Friday intro music.
No.
It wasn't?
Play it again.
Was it?
Stand by.
I don't know. Let's start this show over.
Stand by.
Yeah.
Let's start the whole thing over. People will never know. Okay? It doesn't matter. Listen, there are things in life that really don't matter in the end. Huh? So, just forget it. All right, Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio.
That's
Trivia Friday.
Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question.
Yeah. No, that's not what played, is it?
589-8840.
I don't know. Listen, we'll come back and listen to it later. No big. There's.
Okay, so now I'm questioning my sanity.
Well, you should be.
Listen.
And I am too, because I'm not sure.
Look, I don't have too many philosophical moments.
This is J.J. Jasper, the philosopher. Go
yes.
ahead.
This morning I realized that your memory, and I'm talking to you listening to the radio, your memory is shorter than you think it is, and I can prove it. When the power has gone out across the country,
right.
Why do you keep walking into rooms and immediately flipping the switch?
Yes.
And then just a few minutes later, going down the hall, you walk into another room, and you'd say, oh, I know better than that, because it's no use to flip the switch. The power's off. And then you do it again, and then you do it again.
Yes. Yeah,
so our memory is shorter than we think it is.
That is true. That is sad.
Well, at least you never confronted a snake backed into your door on your patio like I did.
Recently?
Oh, this is like 2 years ago.
But you still remember
I was confronting the snake, which was out under my lawn chair on my patio. I was poking it with the... First of all, I tried to get the blower to blow it off.
A good
plan. But he wouldn't move because he had eaten something, a frog, and he wouldn't move, the snake, if it was a he. So I tried to blow it, and then I tried to poke him with a broom, get him to move, get on out of here, shooing that snake away.
Yeah.
But when he started to come towards me.
No way. You're going to take on a six-foot man with a broom?
I closed the door, and Allison was with me, and I deadlocked it. I closed the door and I deadbolted it, and I immediately looked at Allison and I said, you know what I just did, right?
You don't want him to shimmy up that glass and unclick
force his way in.
It was just a natural reaction, but I thought I've deadbolted that door. He's not getting in here.
That's good.
All right, Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and JJ, and we thank you for listening. The only rule we have today about callers, if you've not been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks, so we have an 8-week waiting period between on-air appearances. That's what I'm saying. So if everybody's eligible if you fall into that category, including first-time callers. But here's the phone number to get online and ask and answer. We prefer that you do both. We have a trivia question. We have three each, which we're about to give you, and then we're going to ask you to ask us a trivia question as well. If you would like to do that, 888-589-8840 is our phone number. True?
It is.
Are we sure? 888. Are we sure, Ed?
I wasn't listening to you.
Are we sure? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. You're listening to American Family Radio. JJ, what about the special
That's right. Question? Our mystery question. When we give out our questions, three each, one of these original questions will be the mystery question. If you happen to land on it and answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound. Ah, the beloved cowbell.
Beloved.
And that means that you win yourself a really nice book. This is by Alex McFarland and Brother Bert Harper. This is hardback. This is really nice. 100 Bible questions and answers on prophecy and the end times. If you don't win it, you can get this in our AFA store, as well as sweatshirts and videos and all kinds of wonderful resources. But that's going to be our mystery question. Somebody's going to be a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Well, not chicken dinner. A hardback book from our own Alex McFarland and Brother Bert Harper.
In the words of Joel Osteen, to everybody listening, you are a winner.
You are a winner.
Everybody's
That's
a winner.
That's right. Yes.
Everybody. And every day is a Friday.
Every day is a Friday, and everybody's special.
Yes, including special ed.
Of course, if everybody's special, then nobody's special. Think about it, people.
Hey, it sounds like we're giving a few little commercials and little nuts and bolts about the program. Can I throw this in here? Preborn campaign's been underway. We were hoping for 5,000. Free ultrasounds. Here's where we are, 4,937. So that means if we just get 63 more people to give $28 a month, we'll reach our goal. And I think Learning University students can do that. So the preborn campaign, today's the last day. We actually extended a little bit. Our goal again was to get 5,000 free ultrasounds to these pregnancy resource centers across the country. A woman comes in abortion-minded. Often when they see the baby, when they hear the heartbeat, they choose life. So,
but we extended this because of the cold weather that engulfed two-thirds of the country.
Yeah, it engulfed.
It engulfed it, baby.
If I can give you the phone number, 63 people to give $28, then we'll reach our goal. The number is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396, or you can donate online at AFR.net. God bless you. Thank you to everyone who helped out with our preborn campaign.
You have to be 11 years old or older to call in on the trivia show, right,
yes,
Ed?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, let's go, my
friend. Right, here are my three questions. First of all, a Bible question. In the New Testament, the prison epistles of Paul include Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. What is the fourth prison epistle? Prison epistles of Paul include Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. What is the fourth prison epistle in the New Testament?
Wait a minute. You telling me that the epistles ain't the apostles' wives? Because I've been going to the wrong church, apparently.
I want to get your theology straight. Just work on that over the weekend.
Over the weekend. I know what JJ's assignment is. All right, second question. Who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow? And then we do this with group names for animals. What is a group of ferrets called? As Tim always says, you and your wife, or you and your husband,
you go and you look, you pull the drapes back or pull the blinds up, and you look out in your backyard.
Yes,
and there's multiple ferrets out there.
Not just one.
Not just one, multiple.
A group of them.
What do you call that? You say, honey, look, come over here.
That's right.
We got a blank of ferrets out here.
And you better lock the deadlock, the deadbolt.
Keep the ferrets out.
Have the broom handle ready.
Shut the fireplace up, too.
That's right.
Climb on your roof. Get down your fireplace.
Without presents.
They'll open the refrigerator, eat your food.
And they like peanut butter.
Yes.
Ferrets, dude. Right. A lot of people don't know that.
Huh? A lot of people don't know.
Two different double-blind studies proved that.
Double-blind.
Yes. Ferrets and peanut butter?
Absolutely.
Go together like...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ed.
That's it.
Here's what I've got. First question.
When are you going to be in Kansas, by the way?
Oh, thank you for asking. Hey, I got a little bit of segue leading into that. So, teacher at the elementary school, she says to the class, name something that starts with an N that you're terrible at. Little Johnny raised his hand. She calls on him. He said, English. Wait, I said to start. Oh, never mind. You just doubled down. You proved it, little Johnny. So I'm speaking at a banquet fundraiser for a Christian school. Not this weekend, but next weekend, February the 7th, Saturday, February the 7th. And I would appreciate prayer.
Where?
Elyria, Kansas.
Oh, so you were just kidding about Kansas.
I was just kidding, but I knew it was a good chance. Good chance he was going to be in Kansas sometime the next month.
That's a flip of the coin.
That's his life.
Right. Oh, so back to start off with a Bible question. Yeah. Moses and Aaron had a sister. Name her. Second question. This is a tough one. Where were U.S. coins with an O on them minted? You see coins, a lot of them, Philadelphia, Denver, but if there's an O stamped on a coin, where were they minted? Third question.
Olathe, Kansas.
Third question.
They're right?
Oz. They're minted in Oz.
Third question. If you have conjunctivitis, what's wrong with you? If you have conjunctivitis,
you don't want to get that on an airplane. I tell you that. That's
here's the deal.
Altitude.
I had an uncle with conjunctivitis, and it got him out of Vietnam. They had that first group of flat-footed boys. I put them on the bus and put your rifles down. We're sending y'all on back home. And then my uncle, they found out he had conjunctivitis. They said, "No, sir, we're getting you. We're gonna snatch you right out of the line, put you on the bus with them boys that's flat-footed.
It is contagious.
Flat-footed.
So, I'll say this: Tim, Ed, and I, and Brent, we've all had conjunctivitis. We have. Yeah, you've had it.
I've had it.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Here are my three questions. A baby boomer question. I'll try to have one a week. So, those of us who, I was born in 63, so I, you know, those of us who, this probably was true in the 50s, but certainly in the 60s and 70s, you know, the TV stations, you only had three, maybe four, if you had PBS, and they went off the air at midnight, right?
Right.
Okay, so.
They ended their broadcast day. Okay.
So, my question to you, to us, to our listeners, my trivia question is, what song would TV stations play to signal the end of the programming day?
Oh, that's good.
Back in the 60s and
70s. I can see it.
And probably in the 50s, too. I'm not sure. But anyway, I know in the 60s and 70s, there was a, you would know, okay, the TV station's off the air because this is on. Okay.
And what you know, you've stayed up late.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's Friday night, usually, if you're going to do this right now. Okay, my second question is, from the world of music, what are the three ranges for male singers called? The three ranges for male singers called. You got that question?
Got it.
And finally, what is the Pillsbury Doughboys' real name?
He's got a name?
He's got a name?
I got a name.
I got a name.
Yeah.
Jim Croce.
Yeah, Jim Croce. He was motivated by this.
By that right there.
By Pillsbury Doughboy. Yeah, that's why he wrote that song. I want to know, what is the Pillsbury?
You're struggling with that one.
I am. And you're not helping me. You're just watching me hang out there.
Pillsbury.
The Pillsbury Doughboy, what's his real name?
You're talking about people like that in the news that we know. This was sad. The guy who invented the wind chill factor, he passed away yesterday, 82 years old, but he felt more like he was 64, is what the headline said.
I think that's opposite. Go in a wheelchair. You know, you're right. You're right, JJ. Down.
Temperature down.
You got it. All right, let's go in.
All right.
Where are we going?
We're going to Arkansas.
You want to play the first song? You want to play the intro song?
You know
music
what?
Music again?
This has been bothering me. I think I figured it out.
Okay.
I put my headphones on late.
Okay.
And missed the whole intro to it. I was going, wait a second, what's that?
It happens.
It happens to me usually.
Who's up first?
Brent is on the line. Brent, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey, where do you live in Arkansas, brother?
I live in Searcy, Arkansas. Actually, I've called about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. We spoke on the air then.
Okay. And you haven't moved.
I have not moved. That's exactly right. I'm at Harding University.
Good. All right.
Hey, Brent, I'm going to be doing Valentine's banquets in Malvern, Arkansas, actually Glen Rose Family Farm, on February the 14th. Then Locksburg First Baptist Church on February the 15th. I know you're closer to Malvern.
That's after Kansas, right?
That's after Kansas, yeah.
So you're coming back through Arkansas.
Well, I'm hitchhiking to all these events, so I've got plenty of time to meander and make it.
Like these rock bands who run out of money. They just got to get back on the road.
Oh, you haven't seen my thing for reverse mortgage. Have you not seen my commercial? Hey, Brent, ask, answer, or do both?
I'll do both, gentlemen.
Which one you feel good about?
The last prison epistle.
Okay, here's the question, Brent, for those just tuning in the New Testament. The prison epistles of Paul include Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. What was the fourth prison epistle? What say you?
Philemon.
Yes, that is correct.
Nicely done. Hey, thanks for being in the Word, Brent.
Philemon.
I picked.
Philemon was the last one.
I picked one that was a little bit, probably a little bit more obscure for most people.
What was the name? Those were named after what exactly?
Well, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians were named after the church and the city in those places. Philemon, this is written like Timothy and Titus to individuals. It's a good cut of meat, too. If you can get a Philemon, that's a good cut of steak. No, that's not true, folks. That part's not true. Hey, good job, Brent.
Way to start us out, Brent.
What's your question for us?
Well, I'm a plumber here in Searcy, Arkansas, so I can either give you a plumbing question or an Andy Griffith question.
I bet you've been busy.
Oh, man. I bet you, yeah. Plumbing. Let's go plumbing question.
Yeah.
Let's go plumbing question because I'm pretty good at that.
Okay, well, this is a pretty simple one. It's not that complicated, but I'm surprised at the people that don't know it. What is the purpose of a P-trap?
Okay, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here.
Yeah, don't say
here.
Anything here, Brent.
That's to keep water in the bottom of that turn to keep the smell from coming back up.
It also catches things if you drop your ring in the sink.
True.
P-trap is that little S shaped up under your vanity.
It also keeps ferrets out.
And it keeps ferrets out.
That was the original design.
It works.
I was reading about it the other day.
Yeah.
But if you drop your ring in there, you can get it out. But now that's a good idea about the
water.
Odor.
The water will sit in that little S that keeps the smell from coming back into your bathroom or sink.
Well,
or
and so also that people wonder why things have to be vented. Being vented is for that and to create that suction.
All right.
Hey, what about it, Brent? What's the
answer?
Are
we close?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's the purpose of the P-trap is to keep the smell out from your house. So what people don't realize in an incorporated area, you live in a city, if you didn't have P-traps, commodes have them built in, other things, tubs and so forth under the ground. But if you didn't have the P-traps, you would actually smell everyone's sewer in your house because you're connected to everyone's sewer.
Oh,
we're all connected.
One way or another, in life,
we're all connected. So it comes back to Kevin Bacon. Am I right?
I will tell. He comes back to Kevin Bacon. I will tell you something, Brett. Plumbing. Now I can do a little bit of plumbing work.
Oh, I got to see this.
No, I can.
Can you do?
Yes, I can.
I'm sorry. I misjudged you.
No, you did, because when I was working my way through Bible college, I worked with the folks who did the water supply,
that thing
for the berms and the grass and all that. So I was always replacing
PVC
pipe.
Yeah,
but anyway,
precious memories.
But I will say this: plumbing is one of those things where you usually wind up paying the experts for stuff. I've done that where I got started and I thought this is above my
pay
grade.
We have YouTube today.
Huh?
We have YouTube now.
Still doesn't help. Not for plumbing.
No, you're
right. Just kidding.
You need
to
right electrician and the right
yourself.
Plumber.
All right.
Hey, Brent, first of all, thank you for not judging me when I mentioned that I can do some minimal amount of plumbing work. But experts get paid for a reason.
Plumbing is one of those things that can cause strife in a marriage, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you say you can do it, and then it doesn't work. Then you get "I told you so" for 2 years.
That's right.
So you better call the experts, right?
Hey, thanks, right,
thank
Brent.
You, Brent.
And we appreciate plumbers and people who
sure
do stuff.
Do.
We
that's
don't.
Why I don't mess
we
with
can't.
People with
you know
the in the trades.
Yeah,
I don't mess.
That's
with
right.
That.
Hey, I got my power back yesterday.
Yeah, you've been
and
out
it,
longer
and
than most.
Saturday
of the folks.
Night, early Sunday morning. So. I mean, it's been very inconvenient. We have a generator, so a whole lot of people worse off. But everybody was doing well except me. I started getting pretty weary, getting up at 3 in the morning, putting gas in the generator, having extension cords all over the house.
Yeah.
We've been huddled around space heaters, lots of candles, lots of flashlights, sleeping in our coats and everything.
Yeah.
For 13 degrees. But I said all that to say there are elderly people, people with babies, people with special needs. There's people that they say, not too far from us, that it's going to be a couple of weeks before they have power.
Well,
so that's heartbreaking.
South got hit very hard. Arkansas got hit hard.
Yeah,
Memphis area.
Yeah, but we got our power on. So if you heard a shout for joy from North Mississippi, it was our house.
All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Back to the phones, Ed.
All right, we go to Texas, and John is on the line. John, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, guys. Greetings from Tyler.
Hey, John.
Hey, yes, sir.
How you doing, brother?
All right. How are you?
Doing well.
Trying to stay warm, John.
Tyler got...
There you go.
You got a lot of... you got snow and ice?
Yeah, it was sleet, mostly. Sleet and a little bit of snow.
I got you.
But then it all iced up, so there. So we're doing well over here now.
Okay.
So...
All right,
good
John, ask, answer, or do both?
I'd love to do both.
All right, which one do you want to try to answer?
The one with the coin with an O.
Oh, here we go. Where were U.S. coins with an O on them? Where were they minted?
Okay, well, I got a comment after I make an answer, okay? I believe it was New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
That's wow. Right. Oh, that makes sense.
New Orleans. That's right.
Orleans.
I wonder where I was.
But I know you guys in Mississippi were thinking it was Oxford, but it was New Orleans.
That's funny. Yeah, yep. I wondered about that. Oxford, Manning and Oxford.
I was going to say like Oklahoma City or something.
Right.
But
I was thinking Orlando. Starting with an N, yeah, Orlando would be a good guess.
Yeah.
You see Philadelphia, then you see D on things, and you just, if you've looked at your coins closely a time or two when you were young, you're like, oh, okay, D, they were minted in Denver.
And now I can't look at coins closely.
No.
My eyesight just...
Oh, wow. That's disappointing.
I'm glad we've got all the coins. It'd be terrible one day if they did away with the pennies or something like that. John, you got a question for us?
Oh, you betcha.
What's your question?
Okay. Who was the assistant coach that recruited Terry Bradshaw to Louisiana Tech University?
One thing, he was right there neck and neck with our old friend from Phil from the Duck Dynasty. That's a pretty interesting story.
Is that maybe the answer?
No, Terry Bradshaw was the assistant under him. He was second string under Phil Robertson.
Oh, you're talking about like in high school or something? Or college?
In college.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. I didn't know that.
But then he quit.
Yeah.
Phil Robertson quit to go duck hunting.
To go hunting. He sure did.
The rest is history.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. What about you guys? You guys know those coaches.
I don't have a clue. You know who the assistant coach was? I think we've had this before.
Is it a famous person, John?
I would say so, yeah.
Like went on to be a
–
go ahead.
A famous coach.
Give us a little bit of a hint.
Who did he coach for? Like he went to the pros to coach?
Well, let's put it this way. He was the first coach to ever win a national, you'll get it when I say this, a national collegiate football championship and the Super Bowl.
I still don't know.
All right, there's the music. Hey, John, I think you've stumped the panel. What's the answer?
Yay, Jimmy Johnson.
No, oh, all right. Where did he coach in college?
Miami and Oklahoma State.
Okay.
I think Oklahoma State before he went to Miami, and then he went to the Dallas Cowboys. I think that's how that went.
Wow, so he won a national collegiate championship and then won with Dallas.
Miami.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Miami and then at the
one
Cowboys.
One of those Miami teams and then, University of Miami and then Cowboys, he won
two. Yeah.
Y'all don't have a Belichick question, do you?
No.
Okay, I was going to do that. Of all these things that he won, I didn't realize all that. And then here he's being snubbed, you know, possibly as far as being a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. Thank you to John in Texas.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In the book of Psalms, there's one short verse that says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power." Back in the second half of the 19th century, there was a soldier by the name of Lew Wallace. He was a general for the Union forces during the war between the states. Lew Wallace was also a lawyer and a statesman of some note. He served as governor of the New Mexico Territory from 1878 until 1881, and as a minister to Turkey from 1881 to 1885. Like many others, Lew Wallace found that as a grown man, he had no religious beliefs. He often thought about this, especially when he was around some others who were strong in their belief. He even talked to Robert Ingersoll, the well-known atheist, for hours at one time. Ingersoll tried to prove to Wallace that the Bible was an unworthy book. Following a visit with some friends, Wallace spent some time in deep thought about what the friends had discussed. God, Christ, the Bible, etc. Somehow Wallace had felt left out in the conversation, and the reason was simple. He knew very little about the subjects. Following that conversation, Wallace made up his mind to write a book about what his friends had been talking about. The reason he decided to write a book was that he might make an in-depth study of the Bible. You see, he knew that unless he had some primary reason to study the Bible, that his study would be haphazard and would soon end. So for the next several years, Lew Wallace spent what time he could reading and studying the Bible. He read books related to the Bible, books that put light and understanding on the Bible. He also read books that shed light on the times during which certain events in the Bible took place. In fact, for more than 7 years, Lew Wallace worked on his book. He developed his theme around the life of Christ. Since he knew hardly anything about the Nazarene, he made Christ the secondary figure in the story, kept him in the background. It was while he was serving as governor of the New Mexico Territory that Wallace put the finishing touches on the book. It wasn't a pleasant time to write for the governor, especially since his life had been threatened by none other than Billy the Kid himself. Soon the book was finished. It was to become one of the most famous books ever written. Wallace named it Ben-Hur. It was translated into several languages. In 1927, it was made into a motion picture. In 1959, it was reshot, this time into one of the most spectacular motion pictures made up to that date. The book Ben-Hur still enjoys good sales even today. But the most important thing about this story is that Lew Wallace, the unbeliever, became Lew Wallace, the believer, because of the research on the book Ben-Hur. Many indeed are the paths the Nazarene uses to speak to us.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
In Him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Ephesians 1:11.
American Family Radio.
Right.
Missed it by that much.
And
one of my favorite shows of all time, Get Smart.
Get Smart. Who were the stars of that show?
Don Adams and...
Who was 99? Barbara Feldman?
Barbara Feldon.
Feldon. Yeah, yep. Agent 99, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And 86. I think Maxwell Smart.
Was it kind of a comedy based on James Bond character,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, he was the un-Bond.
All right,
but he always got his guy.
Yeah, that's right. Missed it by that much.
Would you believe?
that's a good one. All right, Tim here with Ed and JJ. And thank you for listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We are, I tell you what, JJ is still missing in action over here.
I'm not sure.
So you know we're doing the show last hour?
He does. He knows.
Well, he goes into kitchens and then he asks, why am I here? Remember that?
Yes.
That's self-confessed.
Yes. He's probably in the kitchen telling jokes.
With Dinah.
In the kitchen with Dinah.
All right, well, let's go.
Well, let me go ahead and give the number again for those wanting to call in and get on the program.
Go out there and tell JJ we're starting with back.
It's 888-589-8840 is the number to – here he comes.
All right, there he is.
All right, so I'm going to reset my questions, and then
JJ can.
And
we're doing Trivia Friday, JJ. Just catching you up, brother. Okay, got stuck down the hall.
All right, I'm going to add a question. I've had one answered. First question, who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow? The Legend of Sleepy Holler. Second question, what is a group of ferrets called?
Yep.
And then here I will add one. That's true, false. I'm going to. All snakes lay eggs.
What?
Is that true or false? All snakes lay eggs. Is that true or false?
Like all dogs go to heaven.
Kind of.
All snakes lay eggs.
All snakes.
Is that true or false?
Yeah, that was an old Disney cartoon.
Yeah.
Here's what I've got. First question from the Bible. Moses and Aaron had a sister.
Uh-huh.
Name her. Second question. If you have conjunctivitis, what's wrong with you? If you have conjunctivitis, what's wrong with you? And did it leave a mark? Does it leave a mark? I mean, you can watch me playing basketball, and you can tell that I've had conjunctivitis. Just watch me out there trying to play basketball.
So it affects whether you can jump or not?
Is that let me add one. What's the capital of Belgium? What is the capital of Belgium?
All right, here are my three questions. What song would TV stations play to signal the end of the programming day? It's a baby boomer question for those of us who grew up in the 60s, 70s, probably 50s.
But even if you're not a baby boomer, this is important information.
It is.
This
part
concludes.
Of American history. Right
this
here.
Concludes the broadcast day of so-and-so station.
Yeah.
And
that's right. And then what happened?
That's what I want to know. And the flag was in the background.
Sometimes.
Some jets flying by.
Or sometimes it was an Indian. When I grew up in New England, it was
some kind of a pattern.
An Indian.
I think you meant to say Native American.
They actually don't mind
Indian. Convenience stores today.
Huh?
A lot of convenience stores are on.
Not that kind. No, I'm talking feather, not dot.
Huh?
I'm talking feather Indian, not dot Indian.
Oh, okay. Really? Y'all had that going on?
Yeah. In New England. Well,
we were Americans.
We had
the flag going on, but anyway,
they did have
that
pattern
there.
In the morning when you started. They had some kind of like a pattern thing.
Yeah,
you know.
All right. So, what song would TV stations play in the '60s and '70s that would end the programming day? Number two, what are the three ranges for male singers called? Not home on the.
I was just this close.
And it's not an appliance. Okay. So, what are the.
That's a shame you got to do us
I know. All right, fellas, we're reducing
it down. Keep us going all willy nilly.
What are the three ranges for male singers called? And finally, what is Pillsbury Doughboy's real name? The Pillsbury Doughboy, we all know and love.
I'm looking forward to this. I do not know the answer.
What is his real name?
And as you say that, everybody can see that finger sticking into his belly, going in there real far, and him letting the sweetest, adorable little giggle.
I'm assuming it was a he.
You can get in trouble nowadays doing that. I did that.
I tried
to do that to a cop the other day, and he didn't think it was funny.
No, yeah, they don't, you can get your finger bit off. Minneapolis trying.
Who's next, Ed?
All right, we go. What a bunch of wacky people on this show.
Yeah.
All right, we go to Tennessee, and Bill is on the line. Bill, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, you might as well add one more wacky person to the show.
Join us. Come on in here, Bill.
Come on in. Pull up a chair.
All right.
Where do you live in Tennessee, Bill?
Close to Martin, college home of Pat Head Summit.
Yeah.
Yeah, UT Martin.
Now, they were talking 14 to 21 inches for you guys. Thankfully, they missed it by a mile. You didn't get a whole lot of the brunt of that, did you, where you are?
No, but it was ice on top of snow. My wife and I finally got the driveway cleared off yesterday after we've been here a week.
Mm. Wow.
Goodness.
Off the plate. Yeah, man.
Yeah, 5 inches of snow and like 2 inches of ice.
Yeah.
All right, Bill. Hey, welcome. Glad you guys got the shoveling done. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
Oh, I'd love to do both.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we like that enthusiasm.
That's right, brother.
Which one do you want to try to answer, Bill?
The one that's the mystery question?
Yes, sir. Here you go. No, wait. That was good.
What he tried to do there?
No.
I did.
It didn't work, though. You guys are too smart for that. I'll take Tim's question about the male voices.
Okay, the question before us, which Bill is going to answer, hopefully. What are the three ranges for male singers?
Thanks for the vote of confidence, yes, Tim.
No problem. That's why I'm here.
All right, we'll start off with the lowest.
Okay.
That's bass or basso profundo.
Wow.
And then we have the middle guys.
Yeah.
Who are the baritones.
True. You got it.
And usually singing the melody. And then we got the high guys who never did quite reach maturity. The tenors.
That's a good one. Didn't reach maturity.
Oh, my word.
Right, so you got it. Way to go.
Nicely done.
We got tenors, baritones, and bass, right? So three. I think ladies, there's four. I want to say there's four ranges.
But well, I believe Bill. That up. I believe, Bill, do women have four ranges?
I don't know. They get into the crazy names, in especially opera, with the contralto and
outro, soprano.
And what was the first one? First one.
Contralto.
Yeah, I did that.
I'm rambling now.
When I was in 10th grade.
I'm an old guy. I get to babbling after a while.
Well, we have a dog. Right, we feed our dog alto.
Yeah, but
you know, the dog food.
But now babbling is a range.
That is. It's a range.
It's a range.
Babbling.
Hey.
Sorry, anyway.
Well, Bill, what's your question for us? Nicely done, by the way.
All right. Well, JJ, you mentioned family being without power and, you know, how cold it was in the house. Now, you need to take lesson from some of our little coexisting creatures on the planet. Bees end up and survive the winter, even though they're a cold-blooded animal, right? Insects aren't warm-blooded.
Yeah.
But they'll go ahead and do something in the winter to protect the queen and the larva and the majority of the hive. They cluster.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the temperature is in the center of that cluster when they're trying to stay warm in the winter?
You know what? Some bee has to be on the outside of the cluster. Just think about that live right there.
That's where they put the old bees.
How do you think of things like that? Nobody's on the outside layer.
Outside of the cluster.
With their little teeth chattering. Little bee teeth chattering. Little bee knees knocking.
Bee teeth.
I'm going to say 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
I'm going to say 60. What? I'm just total guess.
So you're telling me that when it's cold, Bill, that the bees gather together,
they huddle
in a community, and they look out for one another.
Right?
Are they flapping their wings right there?
No, they don't actually flap their wings because they don't really have room, but they do contract and relax their muscles. generating heat.
Heat, that's right.
I'm just going to be honest. I didn't know bees even had muscles.
They're all bunched in there together. Yes, little bee voices singing Kumbaya. Well, I'm going to go 82.
Are they tenor?
All right, I'll say 79. I don't know.
Waiting on you, Ed.
I said 60.
Oh, 60, 79, and 82.
Okay, JJ was closest.
Wow.
They actually maintain the center of that cluster where the queen is at about 94 degrees.
Wow.
94 degrees.
That's
I'm getting rid of my space heater. Yeah. I'm going to get me a colony of bees.
Just let them cluster around you.
And us running from room to room to try to keep from getting stung, that generates some heat.
Yeah.
Wow, that's high.
That's interesting information.
That was good. That's worth having the show on.
All right, Brother Bill, calling.
Thank you, Bill.
You're listening to Trivia Friday. We also call this
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. We got 45 more minutes of education.
And we're going to go, what do you guys say we go to Mississippi?
Which is forthcoming.
It is. It's forthcoming.
Forthcoming.
Haywood is on the line. Haywood, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, good morning, professors. It's been over 8 weeks. Good to be here.
Haywood, welcome back. Welcome back, brother. Remind us where you live in Mississippi again.
Kosciuszko,
that's right.
Now, you guys didn't get the brunt of the ice storm, but what's it look like where you are?
They got rain.
Well, it's cold, but we did dodge the worst of it, and we're doing okay. It's just cold, but thank God we didn't have the power to go out. And everybody around us got hammered, but we did not.
Okay.
You must be living right.
That's what that is.
Well, hey, I
always get a kick out of people who pray for the weather.
Yeah.
I know I'm running a risk here, but
people sure are.
People who pray for the weather, like, don't hit us, hit the Christians in Nashville.
Move that storm.
Lord, move that storm away and hit somebody else.
You know Nashville deserves it.
Sin City?
You know it's time for Memphis to pay the penalty of their wickedness.
All right. So you joined in with me right there.
No, actually, we have had this conversation before.
Yeah.
I don't pray for God to move a storm. I do pray for God to break it up and lessen its impact.
Yeah.
So... but that's just me. There are people praying, and somebody, Haywood's prayers got answered because it hit us.
Hey, Haywood, ask, answer, or do both, sir?
Well, I'd like to do both today.
Which one you want to answer?
The Bible question, Moses and Aaron's sister.
Moses and Aaron had a sister. Name her.
Miriam.
Yes, sir.
Miriam.
After they crossed the Red Sea, when the wall stood up and they went across on dry ground, Miriam got her timbrel out and sang and danced and shouted about. And there's a song from Miriam right there in the Bible.
Got her what out now?
Tambourine. Timbrel.
I dated a girl with that name in high school.
Timbrel or Miriam?
Moses.
Well, what a mistake of tape was read.
I don't know what her parents were thinking, but.
Hey, nicely done. Haywood, what's your question for us?
I don't know why I said that.
I don't either.
Okay, we'll keep it in the Bible. Okay, when
yes,
the
sir.
Children of Israel went to battle against the Amalekites, mm-hmm. Moses held his hands up and they were victorious. Every time he dropped his hands, they would begin to lose. Two men, one on each side, held his hands up when he got tired. Who were those two men?
Boys, I believe it was Aaron and Hur.
And Hur?
Yep.
Or it might have been Ben and Hur.
That is correct.
That is correct. Way to go, correct. JJ. Yep. High five.
Aaron,
I knew Aaron.
Aaron
but I
and
was
Hur.
Going to say, but yeah. It's Hur. Okay.
H-U-R.
H-U-R. Is that where the Ben Hur movie?
I think Hur was just what you'd call a surname.
Okay,
and so the writer of that novel just used it.
Gotcha.
I've told this several times, but the little boy had the puppy, and the guy asked what the dog's name was, little puppy, and he said, Ben Hur. He said, well, that's an interesting name. Did you name it yourself? Yes, sir. And he said, how'd you come up with that name? Said, well, I named him Ben, and then we found out it wasn't a boy.
Ben Hur. All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday.
Thanks, hey, Haywood. Thank you, Haywood. Thank you, Haywood. God bless you. And we are happy that folks escaped the worst of that storm. We praise God in all circumstances and situations. So,
way to recover, Ed.
Well, I'm just trying.
You recovered great.
I did you like that spiritual turn?
I did. You brought it back home.
Because I wasn't jealous of Kosciuszko.
No, no. Let's go back to the phones.
All right, let's go to Iowa.
Move along. Nothing
talk,
to say here.
Talk about somebody who just rolling their eyes when Mississippians talk about weather. Robert is on the line. Robert, welcome to Trivia Friday.
How are you doing today, gentlemen?
Hey, pretty good. Pretty good, Robert. Thanks for calling. Where do you live in Iowa?
It's Chilcook, Iowa. If you look at the map, we're the farthest south on the east side. That little notch that comes down around the Des Moines River.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Well, listen, brother, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you there in the great state of Iowa, the Hawkeye State. Do you want to ask, answer, or both?
I could do both if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, sir. Which one do you want to answer?
I think I'll do the one about the snake.
All right, Robert, all snakes lay eggs. Is that true or false?
I think it's false.
It is false. Around 30% give birth to live young.
Really?
Can you imagine?
Way to go, Robert.
Yeah, way to go, Robert.
How did you know that? How did you know that?
I just was guessing. I was thinking of the duck-billed platypus, the only mammal that lays eggs.
Yeah.
Hey, so you're saying a third of snakes...
they give birth
live
to live
snakes.
Young. Can you imagine your wife or anybody, in, for that matter, seeing a bunch of little small snakes slithering around after
like
they give
from a
birth?
Horror movie or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Robert. Just a little tip. This is not Pinterest, but if you ever have a snake coming up on your patio, lock the deadbolt because you don't know what snakes are capable of.
Tim does. Knows exactly what they're capable
hey,
of.
Hey, Robert, what's your question for us, sir?
That snake wouldn't move,
I got a movie question for you. It's a John Wayne movie.
All right.
In one of John Wayne's movies, a World War II movie, they mentioned Chilcook. They're getting on a train in Chilcook going to Des Moines, Iowa. It's a World War II movie.
A John Wayne World War II movie, okay.
Well, I'll tell you why, huh? Pilgrim, that's all I've got.
I have, there's people that I do, and that's all, I got one line I can do. All right, so it's a World War
II. Back to the Future, Marty. That's all I got of that one.
All right, so, okay, Robert, you're saying it's a World War II movie, and what?
He gets on a train, and he's headed to Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Where I'm from.
All right.
You know what?
I'm going to say
Jonathan Coker would know.
Oh, he probably sure would. Yeah.
I'm going to say Green Berets. But now these other guys may have a guess, too. I'm going to say the Green Berets.
You know, I spent most of my time watching musicals, so I really didn't do a whole lot of sports movies or John Wayne movies.
Was that the one with Sergeant Carter?
Sergeant Carter.
Mm-hmm. And John Wayne.
No, I don't think Sergeant Carter was in Green Berets.
I thought there was one.
That's Gomer Pyle.
My bad.
The one off.
Yeah, I got him confused.
He was singing soprano.
Okay. I just remember him saying Pyle
All right, let's go with Ed.
Yeah.
We'll say Green Berets or the Sands of Iwo Jima, either one.
I'm going with that one.
Sands of Iwo Jima?
Yeah, I like that one.
Green Berets was a Vietnam movie.
Oh, Vietnam. Oh, I'm sorry. So
it's the Sands of Iwo Jima.
Yeah. Okay. Damn. All right. Nicely
done.
Thank
you. High five me. I got that one. I came through for the team right there.
You mean after I mentioned it?
Yeah, it doesn't even have the right war.
I didn't even recognize the music for this show. What do you expect?
It's like a guy running back runs all the way down the field and falls down at the one. And his substitute comes in and scores a touchdown. And then the paper next day.
It's a team effort, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. All right.
All right.
Is that it? We done here?
Yeah, Robert. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, and have a blessed weekend.
Stay warm in
Iowa. Are we going to do our questions now or after the break?
Let's do it after the break where it will be fresh for people.
Okay. Let's do that.
All right. Let's go to Louisiana, and Sheila is on the line. Sheila, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, Sheila. We're doing great. How about yourself?
Hello. Good. I'm well. Thank you. Okay. So I want to answer the question about the song played after the program ended.
Okay. Yeah. It's a baby boomer question. Are you a baby boomer?
No, I asked my dad.
Okay.
Okay.
You went right
good.
For the old
That's good. Good for you.
So, yeah, the question is, I'll get right here real quick. It was a, what song would TV stations play in the 60s and 70s, maybe in the 50s? I don't know. I didn't watch TV in the 50s. I wasn't here. What song would TV stations play in the 60s and 70s to signal the end of the programming day, Sheila?
Is it the Star Spangled Banner?
Yes, it is.
Oh!
And there's the mystery question. Hey! Wow. You got it right. Way to go.
Do you know what that cowbell means, Sheila?
Won yourself a book.
It was the mystery question.
Yes,
ma'am.
It was. You're a winner.
We're going to send you the...
What did my dad win?
Okay.
Well, he won 100 Bible questions and answers on prophecy in the end times by Bert Harper and Alex McFarland.
That'd be a good
I
book
read
for
that
him.
Book.
Oh, you read... Okay. Well, your dad won a ball cap then? We have some...
Does
he want a ball cap or the book?
I'll do the book.
All right, we'll
okay.
send you the book.
Great. Because we may not have any ball caps left.
We did get that book at Share-a-thon. That's why a lot of people already have it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, good. Yeah. Wonderful.
But I will say this, Sheila. It's good. It's a hardcover book. Looks very nice. You can wait. Give that away at Christmas. You can re-gift it.
Well, what if he's listening? He might be listening.
Well, that's right.
There's a lot of what ifs in life.
That's right.
That we have to deal with.
Sheila is a thinking woman.
Yes, she is.
She's considering all options.
Sheila,
all
right. What's your question for us? And make sure and stay on the line.
I will. I don't have a question, but I just wanted to tell you all that you all are the star in my life. Y'all led me to Jesus.
Wow.
So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sheila.
Thank you so much.
I've been listening for several years now to a lot of different programs, and y'all's got me activated. Y'all saved my life and changed my life.
Wow. Well, of course, all glory to God.
Amen.
Bless him.
That means so much to us.
He uses AFA and AFR.
Yeah. Amen.
And we share some of these stories during our Share-a-thon that we have two times a year. And Sheila from Louisiana, I mean, there you go. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
As you often say, Jesus Christ is a life changer.
He's a life changer.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, Sheila, I'm going to put you on hold here in just a second, and Cindy Roberts will get your information. We'll get the book off to you. But can I just ask you, now we've got Share-a-thon coming up in April. We will open and encourage people to call in and give a listener testimony to how God used AFR. I would just encourage you, and if you feel led to call in when we give that phone number out, and just share that testimony.
Yeah,
that'll be a big encouragement to other people. So thank you so
much. Yeah, you made our day. Thank you, Sheila.
She asked it.
What's that?
No, she said she didn't have a question for us, but she just wanted to make
Thank
that
you,
statement.
Thank you, Sheila. By the way, we're about out of time for this hour, but the Star Spangled Banner, you guys remember this?
I do. Yeah.
So for everybody listening, probably, 55 and under, you know, you don't remember. Or 50
well,
and
they
under.
Can't imagine TV going off at midnight and only having three stations. Yeah.
But that was
this
it.
Concludes.
And then on Friday, listen. Fridays and Saturdays, they would stay on, I guess, till midnight, maybe a little bit longer. But earlier in the week, I don't know that they all even stayed on the stations where I was growing up, even to midnight.
Well, they'd go off after Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson usually on NBC came on at 10:30.
Yeah.
And was that an hour, hour and a half?
An hour and a half.
So midnight to go off the air.
I just went off at 8 because we didn't have that premium package. We just had the basic package.
I just remember on the weekends, Friday and Saturday, they'd have a Elvis movie, Bonanza. And I'd watch one or two of those.
They'd have
fall asleep.
The The late show.
The late, late show. That's what I'm talking about.
The movie.
It was usually
movies.
Viva Las Vegas. Or
while we're going down memory lane, the good old cartoons on Saturday morning while you're eating a bowl of cereal with about a half inch of sugar, a slush in the bottom, and then Westerns. So you had cartoons.
And Tarzan.
And Westerns and Tarzan.
With
Tarzan
with the rhinoceros that was as big as a house.
What would Tarzan?
Tarzan had a cold that day. But it was. Now, I need Carol Burnett on here doing it, right?
That's exactly right.
The Tarzan. Tarzan's Saturday afternoon.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. We'll be back.
Thank you, Johnny Quest and Haji, for showing up.
And the Bandit.
And the Pink Panther.
Pink Panther cartoon.
Hey, boo-boo. All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes, and we'll reset our questions.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.